flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
You know, it's shocking to me. I don't think that as long as we've been doing this show, buddy, I don't think we've ever actually had the drums or flats discussion.
I'm a content creator. I'm an idea guy.
Sure,
this is what I do.
Sure,
I'm also award winning.
The
know if
content cash cow Lonzo walked us into the Denton Day drums or flats.
I do drums because my fiance likes flats, and I'm a great fiance myself. So I give her the ones that she likes, and I take the ones.
Okay, she's not there. Drums or flats.
Usually flats.
Okay. See,
I feel like you kind of get robbed with the drums.
See, I don't. I mean, if you get the crappy ones that are like real skinny around the top, like if I go to a wing joint and I ask for drums and they bring me out drums and those drums are like real skinny around the whole thing, then I'm never coming back to your spot. But you bring me one that's got some meat on it, that's all I'm ever going with.
Yeah, we don't want body positive drumsticks. Like I want the ones that eventually end up fed up. You know what I mean?
Denton Day is a host on Sirius XM Radio, hosts College Football Overtime, but he's also one of the best sports talkers I have ever had the opportunity of sharing time on the air with. And by the way, Denton, I don't know if you can change that. I think you may have a webcam mic on or something because we're getting a buzz from you. We'll see if we can get that fixed up. But in the meantime, we brought Denton on to talk college football. We brought Denton on to talk a little Super Bowl. Let's start with this one, bud. We have now had the college football championship in the rearview mirror for a hot minute now. Has there been any further evaluation from you about the playoff? We played a clip earlier from I think, professional troll Danny Cannell saying that after seeing it, he would like to go to a two-division, two-league set up and have promotion, relegation, and all that. Has there been any further thought about the playoffs, or are you still, in retrospect, pretty happy with how it all shook out?
Was that Cannell finally admitting that he likes the SEC? Is that what I heard with the two-league and the relegation and all that? Because I know
the audacity of that allegation.
I know he doesn't like the SEC. I mean, I think it's too early to start doing some crazy stuff like that. We saw this once. Let's give it a couple of years. If we're 3 years, 4 years into this, and we still have like major outlying issues with it, then we can make a change. But I don't think you should make any massive change after one season.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. At least, if nothing else, to the playoff structure itself, right? Like, I think we ended up in a spot where we got the four best teams playing late. I think we also proved that 12 is a good number. I mean, arguably you can make it eight since it was 5, 6, 7, and 8 that played in the semis. But I think at the end of the day, the tournament definitely produced the best team, the best four teams playing in the semifinals. I'm big on tinkering. If you're not working to get better, you're following behind. I'm kind of that mindset. I thought it was pretty good top to bottom.
Yeah, I agree with you. And like, this was an interesting year in college football because it didn't feel like there was any like, you know, massive great team. You know, Ohio State was good, but they certainly weren't great. They lost twice, right? So I think maybe in other years when you have like the traditional who is really, really good and who is not, it might be different. But this, I thought this was a good year for the sake of parity to get it at 12.
Denton Day, host of SiriusXM's College Football Overtime, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. And for those of you watching on the stream, yes, my entire computer just froze up, so you're just going to have to deal with me for a minute.
They could still hear your voice.
That's all that matters. I mean, yeah. Nobody wants to see my big fat head.
That's true.
Denton Day, when let's jump it on over and talk a little bit about the Super Bowl here for just a minute. Let's start with this. Any early reads, any early lines that you like? Is there anything that struck your fancy that you can break down into some X's and O's for us?
Well, first and foremost, for the second year in a row, I had jumped on a future for Kansas City. Now, this one wasn't nearly as big as last year. I got them at like 9-1 last year because people thought they stunk. And I was like, I don't know about that, guys. But I still have it like, I think it's like plus 250. So just from my personal standpoint, it only makes sense if I would then bet the Eagles money line while it is still positive, you know, positive value. I look at this, though, Rob, and I'm like, all right, if Philadelphia doesn't win, it should be a failure because top to bottom, they have the best roster in the NFL. I mean, Jalen Hurts is not Patrick Mahomes, but the last time we saw him in a Super Bowl, he outplayed Patrick Mahomes, I thought. I mean, he was the best player in that game, but it just so happens that Kansas City was a better team that particular year. I think Philadelphia should win the football game. I want to throw up as I say that, but I think they should win the football game. The problem is, what do you do when you go against Michael Jordan? So, like, I'm personally going to bet Philly's money line just so I can get a little bit of a hedge action in there. But I don't know if you were just a regular person, how you could feel any sort of confidence betting against Patrick Mahomes.
That was kind of my take. I was on BetMGM tonight last night with Ryan Horvat and Brad Evans, and we were having this discussion. And I said, you know, I'm kind of at a spot where there's not much I dislike more. Hold just a second. Got it fixed. There's not much I dislike more than leaning into narratives and falling apart. But I'm kind of at the point now where I'm almost like, it just feels like the football universe has spoken. And as a sports talker, I'm not supposed to do that. But I'm at the point now going, if Josh Allen had the season Josh Allen had, if that Bills team was the healthiest it had been all year, if they had that opportunity to make something happen, and yet the Chiefs still did what they did. Patrick Mahomes, by the way, now 8-0 in one score games over the past year and a half or so. I'm at the point now where it's like, I just don't see with a team that doesn't, outside of Saquon Barkley, really have like that big explosive play potential, or feel like they do. Blame it on Jalen Hurts, blame it on the receivers, blame it wherever you want to blame it. I'm having a hard time trying to come up with reasons that I should put anything on Philly.
I would blame that on Jalen Hurts because if you look at that roster, Rob, AJ Brown is an explosive. He should be an explosive machine. You and I remember watching that dude in college. That dude was the best. I mean, he won the Heisman for a reason at wide receiver. It feels like he's been way underutilized in this Philadelphia offense because of the limitations at quarterback and pushing the football down the field. Like, that's the one thing where I feel like Philadelphia should have the massive advantage, because if you look at the games that Kansas City has played just in the playoffs, right, with the Texans and then with this past week with the Bills. Well, who's the best receiver on the Bills? On paper, it's Amari Cooper, but he has been virtually a non-factor since he got traded. Outside of like that one play where you're like watching Keon Coleman at the goal line tell him what to run, and then he scores a touchdown, right? But outside of that, he's virtually been a non-factor. The Bills didn't have any, you know, really scary wide receivers. The Texans, they had one, but like that's really it. They were supposed to have a lot more, so you really only had to deal with one. At least with Philadelphia, you have to deal with two and three if you count Saquon Barkley. They haven't used him a ton out of the backfield in the passing game, but I can't think of a better time to start been in the Super Bowl. So they have a lot of explosive playmakers. It just is more about, can Jalen Hurts get the football to him and allow them to make plays? You know, he did a good job of that, unfortunately, against Washington. He had a little bit of help on certain plays, but that shot to A.J. Brown on fourth down, holding aside, it was a very clear holding, but holding aside, that was a beautiful throw. And that's a throw that we haven't really seen him make a ton this year. So if that's kind of the normal, and that's what we're going to get in the Super Bowl, that should give Philadelphia an edge.
We love us some drama, right? Reality TV, one of the most watched genres of television every single year. I think most sports fans watch sports for the drama. We love some raw athletic competition, but we love some drama. Jalen Hurts said in a presser earlier this week that in these playoffs, he feels like, and I'm paraphrasing, but something close to the tune of, he feels like the straitjacket has been taken off, which is, to me, even if it's unintentional, kind of a shot at Nick Sirianni, at the Philly offensive coaching staff. Yeah, as if they've been holding Jalen Hurts back. Where do you fall on that? Because I was, and I admit now, and I don't know if I still don't feel like I'm wrong. I said during the offseason, after the collapse last year, I think I'd have probably moved on from Nick Sirianni, to be honest with you. But here he is going to coach his second Super Bowl in 3 years. Who do you trust less, Nick Sirianni at the controls or Jalen Hurts to execute whatever he dials up?
Yeah, that's a tough question, because like, it is hilarious for Jalen Hurts to say something like that, because it's like, buddy, you guys are really good this year. Like, even if a straitjacket was on, it really worked. So it's not like you guys were 9-8 and just barely scraped by to get into the playoffs, and now they're allowing you to take control. You guys were really good and had an MVP candidate. So I think I trust. Well, I don't trust Nick Sirianni at all. I got to be honest. I think he's kind of a dope. I think if you give him too much power, he is going to find a way to screw things up. So I would trust Jalen Hurts a little bit more, but it's not. I don't know that that's a winning situation either way, right? I just don't really think Sirianni is great. I think he's a fine coach, but I don't think if we have, when we get to list season, Rob, regardless of what happens in 2 weeks. When we get to list season and we start to get to the coaching decisions and like who's a top five, top 10 coach, Sirianni might be in the top 10, but he's certainly not going to be in the top five. Even if Philadelphia goes and hangs 50 on Kansas City, he's not going to be in the top five. So I think I would trust Jalen Hurts maybe just a little bit more than Sirianni.
Does Philly strike you as one of these teams? You know, I've said, I felt this way about Sam Darnold this year, took a lot of heat for it, said it about Kirk Cousins when he was in Minnesota, said it about Brock Purdy in San Francisco, and those are all players, not coaches, but I feel like this is the coach version of that. There's just so many good players on that team that even if you coach poorly, they can still just athlete you to being a good team. Is that what you feel about the Eagles? Because I kind of do.
Yeah, Philadelphia has an embarrassment of riches. And to be fair, like, they should. I mean, Howie Roseman's done a great job, not this year, but over the course of years, Rob, for building that roster. I mean, if you look at them top to bottom, outside of quarterback, they're like top one, two, or three in every single position, like literally every single one. It's fascinating to see how they put that kind of team together. And then you look at their defensive core, like Vic Fangio is one of the best in the business when it comes to just running a badass defense. Kellen Moore is a very good and capable coach when it comes to running an offense, but that's where you really look at and say, you just have so much talent. Like, you just got to tell the offensive line to block, and Saquon will do a lot of the work after that. So I do think they have an embarrassment of riches, which is why I go back to the point where if they don't win, it should be considered a failure because they're so good at every single position outside of quarterback. And it's not like Jalen Hurts sucks, by the way. It's not like he is the 32nd quarterback. He's just not a top five, top 10 guy. You know, he's probably in that 12 to 13 range if you're listing out quarterbacks, but you can win with a 12 to 13 quarterback if you are so strong at every other position.
Denton Day joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate talking Super Bowl prognostications. We've talked quite a bit about the IGLSELS Eagles, according to the mayor of Philadelphia. Let's flip to the other side of the field. Listen, Andy Reid continues to deserve flowers for the coaching job that he does, but I've said so far, if I'm picking an MVC of this postseason, how about freaking Steve Spagnuolo? Like, you know what his defense is. He's going to blitz you in every high-pressure situation. But it's not just dialing up the blitzes, Denton Day. It's about knowing who and where to send the pressure. He had Josh Allen in stitches for a handful of minutes there, including on the biggest play of the game, where Josh Allen rolled right as he does. And there's two Chiefs just waiting for him. Steve Spagnuolo right now is the reason, in my opinion, and it's Mahomes and it's Reed and all these great players. Steve's been a wizard in these postseason games.
I mean, he's so good at dialing things up, Rob. I almost wonder if he has like an infinity stone that allows him to see like 5-10 seconds ahead of time. It's like, all right, what are they going to run? All right, I'll have a blitz ready for this, because he does it every single time. Every single time there's a play that needs to be made or a blitz package that needs to execute, he finds the perfect one. It is stunning to me how frequent that happens. And the Josh Allen thing is a perfect example of that. I've seen a lot of people breaking film down on the Twitter sphere over the past couple of days. There was nothing Josh Allen could have done. Like literally nothing, unless you have Madden Rewind on. There's nothing that dude could have done. It was just the perfect blitz at the perfect time. That's where I kind of worry about Philadelphia and the coaching, whether it's Sirianni calling plays or Kellen Moore. Can they go toe-to-toe with the best defensive blitzer in the NFL right now? Because that's what Spagnuolo is. And if we want to talk about defensive coordinators, obviously he's right at the top of that. But if you're just talking about blitzing, there is nobody better than Spagnuolo. So I don't know what Philadelphia is going to do. And on top of that, dude, Chris Jones is just a baller in these games. Like, he is a big-time player. Even if his stat sheet isn't, you know, eye-popping, if you just look at some of the nuanced stuff that he does, it always feels like he's opening sacks up for other guys on that defensive front, because he is commanding so much attention on the defensive line. It's kind of dorky, but to see Chris Jones and then Jalen Carter in the same game together is like, these are the two best defensive tackles in the game, and we get to see them basically go blow for blow in the Super Bowl.
We're talking to Denton Day, getting a little Super Bowl prep ready. Yeah, we got a lot of time left, but it's a damn Super Bowl. Of course we're talking about it. I floated a theory earlier to Denton Day, and I'll float it to you now. Lonzo and I were having the conversation. My projection is that we are going to see, despite the fact that it is Mahomes, despite the fact that it is an opportunity for the Chiefs to make history and do something no other NFL franchise has ever done and win a three-peat, despite the fact that Tay-Tay's going to be there, et cetera, et cetera, I think you're going to see a mini drop in the television ratings this year, because I genuinely do believe that the whole Chiefs fatigue thing is real, just based on my read of social media, listening to the shows, et cetera. Where have you do you think that the Chiefs fatigue thing is real? Do you think America's in the Phillies in Philadelphia's back pocket? The reason I ask is, if the answer is yes, I think I might wait to make a bet on this game and let people put all the bets on Philly and drive the Kansas City price to a better spot.
I definitely think the Chiefs fatigue is real. I don't know how much that's going to impact the television ratings, because like, what else are you going to do? Like, the Super Bowl is such an event nowadays where you're going to go watch it regardless, whether you are, you know, stuck in 2006 and you think the commercials are still cool. I don't think there's been great commercials in like, you know, well, 20 years almost. Or you're going to watch the halftime show, which at this point, Rob, is what I'm most excited about. I can't tell. Like, I'm sad that my team is not playing in the big game, but now I don't have to watch my favorite audience or my favorite artist while I'm riddled with anxiety about a second half of the Super Bowl coming up. So that's fun for me. But I do think you're going to see a lot of bets on Philadelphia, which is honestly dumb. Like, if you just want to look at this from a logical standpoint, if you think the NFL is rigged in the direction of the Chiefs, why would you not bet on the Chiefs? Like, if you think they are going to throw the game for Mahomes, make money off of the league throwing the game for Mahomes. That feels like really, really obvious, but I know people are going to do the opposite because they bet more with their heart than their head.
Where have you fallen on this whole Mahomes, refs, Chiefs controversy, or lack thereof, or excessive amount thereof?
I mean, I think some of the penalties are not good looks, but I also just think he's a top three quarterback that could potentially be top two in 2 weeks. I think if he wins this Super Bowl, there's a real, real conversation to be had about him surpassing Montana, and then it's him and Brady. I love watching greatness. I never got to see Michael Jordan. I was born in 95. I've seen LeBron James. LeBron and I have had an interesting relationship for some stuff that he did early in his career. I like him now, but he had an interesting relationship. So I didn't properly enjoy the greatness while he was in his peak in like those days in Miami. I'm enjoying the Mahomes stuff. I wanted Jane Daniels to snatch his crown, admittedly, but I'm enjoying the Mahomes stuff because I just like watching greatness. And if you want to beat him, you got to go beat him. I do think there is something really powerful about that. And I do think that they decided to throw that game against Denver. So the one guy that could beat him didn't play in the playoffs.
We are talking to Denton Day. He hosts on the Beck.
He almost
Network.
Said to be a man, you got to beat the man. He was close.
I was close.
I mean, why did you not?
Ric Flair and I have an interesting relationship.
Fair enough. I accept that entirely. Who's winning the Rumble this weekend, pal?
Oh, God. They did such a good job this week in terms of, like, interweaving stories. And I'm like, all right, like, Cena winning would make sense to have Cena versus Cody. But I think you can also just do Cena versus Cody without him winning the Rumble. So then I think you should go – whoever wins the Rumble should challenge Gunther. And then it's just like, who do I want Gunther to face? You know, in a perfect world, extracurricular outside of the ring stuff aside, I would love to see – Gunther beat Brock Lesnar. I don't think Brock Lesnar's coming back for those extracurricular things outside of the rings. That's going to be a tough PR move for WWE to deal with. I think it's going to be Rollins. Yeah, I think Seth has had such a great like past 2 years, but he really hasn't been given the push. You know, he played the side character against Cody. He was always kind of the guy with Cody. He lost to CM Punk, which he shouldn't have on that Netflix debut. I think Seth gets it done.
I like that take.
I just have a feel. It depends on where the Kevin Owens and Cody match happens. If it happens before the Rumble, I see Kevin Owens finding a way back into the Rumble and somehow winning it.
I want Kevin Owens. Like, I know the Cena and Rhodes thing for the championship. Kevin Owens deserves the title. Oh, I think he's.
I think the
awesome.
the three of us agree that Kevin. I would love to see Kevin Owens win Saturday. For sure.
He's my favorite in WWE right now.
I'd also like to point out he's right about everything.
He is not told a lie.
No. Everything he said is 100% correct. And also on top of that, fat bearded guys unite. We got to stand together.
Hey, all right? Sick tattoos too.
And sick tattoos. I'm tired of fat bearded guy oppression out here in the streets. We won't stand for it anymore. Denton Day joining us here on the Rob Brown Show. He's the host of College Football Overtime on Sirius XM and also the host and producer on 106.7 The Fan up there in the greater DC area. Joins us on Wednesdays, my man. Next week, we go on the record with some props and picks, pal.
I can't wait. I'll be in New Orleans getting after it, so I'll make some time for you, though, after I'm on Bourbon Street for a little bit.
Must be nice. Must be nice to be Denton Day. I'll be right here. Have a ball, pal.
I'll take a strawberry daiquiri to the dome just for you.
You made it worse.
Why don't you live vicariously instead of showing your jealousy? I mean, come on,
because
dude.
I'm very jealous. That's okay. The reason. Denton Day, appreciate you, fella. Let's do it again, pal.
All right, fellas. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy. Denton Day, host again on SiriusXM of College Football Overtime and on 106.7 The Fan in D.C. We are back after this on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buddy,
I'm gonna make you hate it. Call me something else, punk.
Buddy. All right, let's get a couple more things in here before we get up out of here. We've been talking about the Super Bowl a little bit. Mahomes and the Chiefs, one win away from the first three-peat in the history of the National Football League.
By the way, just really quick, I looked it up, and according to a survey of 6,093 Americans, 45% prefer drums, 29% preferred flats, and 26% were indifferent.
I land on, I prefer drums. However, if I go to a Super Bowl party and I roll up in there and it is being hosted by a psychopath who said, I ordered wings to the party and they're all flats, I'm eating them, right? Like, I'm not a dude who's going to say no to flats. Now, if I go to a Super Bowl party and you got a big tray of 1,000 wings and it's 50-50, I'm absolutely the dude that's going to reach in there and pick out the drums.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm more interested in, are they dry rubbed or do they have sauce on them, and what kind is what? Are your sauces touching each other? So we have a mingling of sauces. There's the things like that.
All massive factors, and all taken into consideration when I'm putting my plate together. But if I am happy with all the choices as far as style of wings, flavor of wings, sauce, yada 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 yada. If I'm happy with all those things, if it is drums and it's flats, I am absolutely the dude that will stand there and not just pick out the drums. I'm picking out the big drums. All right. I'm picking out the big ones. I want the jumbo drums. I don't want to go in there and end up if the drum is a cylinder shape instead of got that big meaty bulb on the end of it, then I'm out. All right. I want a big, thick, fat drum, not a skinny little drum. All right. If the choice is like skinny little drums or like big meaty flats, then I'm going to go with the flats.
By the way, I get your preferences, but if I go somewhere and all they have are the skinny ones, I'll just eat more of them.
Oh, again, same by and large. Now, if they are so bad that I look at it and I go, you know, these aren't necessarily worth the effort.
They were malnourished chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I reach in there and they're not worth the effort of eating them, then it's going to come down to how good are the wings? Because if they're like a top 10 wing I've ever had, they're just small, then I'll, you know, if the meat is phenomenal, I will go through the effort of high effort for low rewards. But if the wings average and they're tiny little baby wings, I don't want none. All right, I don't want none at that point. I will flip over and I will go to the pizzas or the sandwiches or whatever else is being provided at said party. If I go out, I will say this is true, there is at least one restaurant in the area that is on the Rob Brown blacklist. I just won't go there anymore, okay?
All right, one more real quick before we move on. Is it okay to double dip if it's family?
I say no, honestly. I say no. There's the only exception to the double dip is if you have your own personal cup of whatever dressing you go with.
Yeah, double dipping doesn't bother me if I know everybody.
If you know them or if you're related to them.
If I'm out with my group of friends, which I don't have anymore, but I did it one time, like a long time ago. If we're out and we're all hitting the dip, I don't care.
So if we're at, if we throw a corporate party next year and the boss orders up 1,000 wings for everybody in the building and it's just one big thing of ranch with a spoon to scoop over, if people are hitting the double dip in that, you're like, hey, whatever, I work with this guy?
Downstairs invited also? If so, then no, I'm not doing that.
See, but, so you don't...
I mean, we're in unity upstairs. I mean, we're all of one... big family, hive mind, all that kind of
stuff.
So
you don't really have a clear line for double dipping.
Oh, I do have a clear line. It's upstairs, downstairs.
Okay.
Steve being the only exception. If he wants to double dip, go for it.
Well, he probably paid for him.
Yeah, I know. So I know.
I can't talk. It
really does bother people, and there will be people going to Super Bowl parties.
Hello, it's me. I'm people.
Who will go, so you will, but would you make a big deal out of it?
Yes.
So you're over there, and you see someone double dip, will you just, he just double dipped?
No, not like that, but 100%, if we are standing at the wing serving station, 100%, I will go.
All right, I'm talking about chips. We're talking about chips.
I don't care if you're talking about wings or chips
else.
If you have put food in your mouth and then you reinsert the food that was in your mouth back into the dip,
all right,
I will, even if I don't know you, if we're at a party and I don't know you, 100%, I will say, you just double dip? I will call. I'm not going to yell it. I'm not going to scream
even
it
if it's a stranger
party
that you don't know.
Yes.
And let's say you're at a business party for, like, say you're going with your wife to a company Super Bowl party and you see her boss double dip. Are you pointing? Are you
not in that case?
Okay.
It's going to hurt her in the long run.
All right. So as long as there's some thought that goes into it.
Well, it's going to hurt her. But if we are at a company party, right? If you and I are at an Odyssey party and there's chips and dip and somebody from downstairs who may or may not have an impact on my paycheck on a monthly basis, I see them double dip, 100%. I'm be like, yo, did you just double dip? Because I want them. What I have found.
See, I wouldn't do that. Now, if it's Kevin, I'll be like, Kevin, come on, dude. What are you doing?
I have found, and I believe
this
to be true.
Care. Kevin's probably all right.
I believe this to be true. I have found, or at least believe, that most people, not all people, most people understand that the double dip is societally frowned upon, but in that moment...
did you figure it out? That's what I want to know. Because
I believe,
my friends were all Neanderthals and don't care.
I believe that most people have it written upon their heart that the double dip is inappropriate societally. Fine if you have your own dip, not fine if it's a public resource. And I believe that most people, when they consume a bite of whatever, chip, chicken wing, whatever you're hitting into that dip, most people, when they are ready for the next round, have a decision to make. And that decision is, do I take the easy path and give myself immediate gratification of having the next scoop of dip ready to go? Or do I make the effort that I would need to make society a better place by taking some of that dip, placing it on my own personal serving station, and moving on? And most people will pick lazy. Most people in most scenarios. This is why the people who have big-time work ethics, the people who are always grinding, that's why they stand out, because most people are lazy. And in that moment, you have one opportunity to pick lazy and double dip, or to do the little bit of extra work it takes to make you and everyone around you's life better, to take some of that dip and move it over. Most people will pick lazy. And what I have found out over the years is that if you ask a person, did you just double dip? What you are actually asking them is, are you so lazy that you are willing to subject everyone else at this party? Are you so lazy you're willing to subject everyone else at this party to your mouth fluids, because that's easier than just getting a scoop of that dip? And most people, when they hear it and it clicks in their brain, they realize what they have done.
Well,
that's my experience.
If you and I are at a party together, we're not together, because you'll ditch me and go over where the popular people are. So
no, I'm going to go where the dip is.
Have to worry about, no, that's, I'm already there. So, and maybe you give me the eye, like, are you keeping an eye, make sure no one's double dipping, and I'll be your wingman.
Listen,
so to speak.
I'm a social butterfly. All right. Even at the Super Bowl party, I'm going to ping group to group to group to group to group. I'm going around. I'm making the rounds. I'm talking to everybody. I'm a social butterfly. All right? You got to let me strut, Captain. I'm a peacock. You got to let me strut.
This is why I don't go to Super Bowl parties, because I actually watch the game.
For the record, I also do watch the game, I'm the opposite. The one thing that does drive me nuts about Super Bowl parties is the people who shut up for the commercials and then yap through the game. But I'm also a creature of social needs, and I like a good Super Bowl party. What I tell you I absolutely do is that before I leave the crib, I set that Super Bowl to record, and when I get home from said Super Bowl party, and obviously moving to the morning shows has made this a little bit more difficult. It was easy back when I'd wake up the next day and I'd actually watch the Super Bowl. A little more difficult now. But usually what I will do is if I'm at the party, I'm making mental notes of like when the stuff I want to go back and check out is. I go home, I pull up the DVR, and then I flip through and I watch the important stuff, and then I will try to do like a full-scale rewatch before I get back on the air the next time. However, if you double dip, you are a lazy person, a selfish person, a person who cares more about your immediate gratification than you care about the well-being and enjoyment of everyone else sharing that food with you. That's all it comes down to. All it comes down to. Final segment next, The Rob Brown Show, The Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's The Fan Upstate. We got about 12 more minutes left to go here in the show. So if you want to get in on the radio broadcast, now's a wonderful time to do it. 844-326-3663. 844-FANFONE. You can give us a call on that number. You can shoot us a text on that number. 844-326-3663. If you want to do that, we certainly would love to have you on the show this morning. We have talked a lot. This is Super Bowl, but you know, heard Denton Day earlier call the offseason list season, which I think is a frankly excellent name. I call it peak offseason radio, but list season, that's where you're going to start to hear hosts who don't like to talk golf, soccer, hockey, basketball, all the other sports, they're going to come in here on a regular basis and they're going to say, who are the top five blanks in sports? What are the top three thises in sports? What guys did the top three thises? Whatever. I like talking all the sports. That's just me. He called it list season. We are in right now prime Super Bowl food territory. You're going to hear that conversation a lot over the next couple of weeks. People are going to be consistently asking, hey, what's your favorite Super Bowl snack? What's your favorite Super Bowl meal? Drums or flats? And that's all well and good. That's great conversation.
Have you ever heard someone that sort of thing going on and thought, hey, man, I got to try that? Because I have.
I would be fine.
No way you've tried every Super Bowl food under the sun.
I'm sure I haven't. What I'm saying is, like, I am down with those discussions if you bring them to me in a way that's more than just, I like cheese. Like, yeah, me too. But, like, what's that doing for me right now? Now, if you were to hit me with, hey, like, one texter just sent in his menu. His recipe for his Buckeye Mike sent in a recipe for a particular dip that he likes. And I got to tell you, copy, paste, and move to my Google document. I'm all in Buckeye Mike.
Can you at least give us like what he called the dip?
He didn't give it a name. Yes, he did. It's called Ohio Cheese Dip. I'm down to try it.
You can't go wrong with that.
I'm going to tell you this, Mike. If I make it and it ends up reminding me of Skyline Chili, you're banned from the show forever.
That's not true. We don't do that.
Banned from the show forever. Madcraft joining us on the phone lines. What's up, big dog? Welcome back to the show, buddy.
What's up, buddy? Hey, I just wanted to talk about the cheese rest situation.
Do it.
This is coming from a Los Angeles Chargers fan. So I have no good feelings for the Chiefs whatsoever. Okay. But I'm going to tell you why this is not the two P's that y'all think is pennies and pockets. These are the other two P's, precision and perfection of all facets of the game. All right, let me give you an example. All right, let's say there's 6 seconds to go, and as the play starts, whistle gets called, and lo and behold, LeBron draws a foul. We don't go, oh, man, no, wrists are in pockets. Oh, God. No, we go, oh, LeBron's doing LeBron things because he knows precision and perfection of the game. That's exactly why the Chiefs are so good at winning one possession games. It's the two P's, precision and perfection. That's what makes Mahomes so good. But thanks, guys.
You got it, buddy. Appreciate you. Madcraft checking in. Good to have him back on the phone lines there. We talked about this very briefly yesterday, but we didn't really get to it. Lonzo has been talking about the secret society of broadcasters, me and Stephen A. and Mad Dog and all these people in a group text who... There's another one going right now, and that is the people who are going, no, guys, you're missing it out. The Chiefs are just that good. Here's Dan Orlovsky. Listen, I don't have an issue with the take. I have said many times and many times again, if a team does not play up to their expectations and yet still has an opportunity to win the game, don't tell me that a blown call is okay because, hey, you should have just overcome it. No, if the team made a bunch of mistakes and still had a chance to win the game, it should be up to the team to win the game. Nothing else. Should be up to the players. Not officials, not whistles, not replays, not anything else. It should be up to the players to make the right plays. But Orlovsky also has a point, which is even if there were a couple of situations, and there were, you haven't really heard me gripe about the refs in this game. I do think there were a couple of blown calls. I also know for a fact Buffalo got away with at least one hold and at least one face mask that didn't get called. Like clear ones. So I'm not complaining about it. He wasn't the only one. Here's Mark Schlereth. That's it. You made the same mistakes. You repeated them. You kept trying to run the same play. What is it? Wasn't working. You tried to do something that wasn't you and your team. And at the end of the day, I said this last offseason. I'll say it this offseason. He's not going to do it, I don't think, because he's not this guy, I don't think. But if I was Josh Allen, I would be saying to the Bills, you can keep Sean McDermott or you can keep me, but you can't keep us both. You just can't. I'm going somewhere, or he is, because he and that play calling was abysmal. And on top of that, Josh Allen had opportunities to execute, and he made mistakes. And I'm going to fight back on one thing Orlovsky said. I don't think anybody loves him more than I do. Yeah, they do. I do. Love Josh Allen. My favorite non-Saints player to watch play right now. But
yeah, we know
he screwed the pooch in big time opportunities to get it done. Yes, the refs blew some calls. Ain't no doubt about it. But the Bills had an opportunity, and between the awful play calling from Sean McDermott and between Josh Allen just missing some opportunities, missing some spots, they did themselves in.
First thing that's axing is Mordor.
We got off the show yesterday after JD McDonough let us off, and I watched that bump. Bleeping ow.
It's amazing how strong his head is, though, right?
Dude, his head. I'm shocked his neck didn't sever.
I know.
That was unbelievable. And my dude got up and didn't just finish the match, took some bumps.
And also
threw a finisher.
Yeah, broken ribs and collapsed lung. Yeah.
Mordor is trending because, you know what, I don't know. I was going to say maybe it's got something to do with the wildfires.
No, it was actually Russia. There's a video from a distance of Russia, a part of Russia on fire right now or last night or something. And people were saying it looks like Mordor.
Yeah, the whole world's on fire. Everything's fine.
Yes. Everything's fine. I don't smell smoke. All right, the next thing that's Xing is Jalen Milroe.
Jalen Milroe is Xing. I've seen some videos. I don't know if this is why. I've seen some videos of him doing some community work, and the people around love to see it. Is he...
He's not really tearing it up at the Senior Bowl.
The Senior Bowl, yeah. And that was going to be my guess, was he either did something really good or not so great. Here's the thing. I'm going to tell you this. Milroe is when usually if a guy's like undecided, I'm like, yo, go get the bag. Like your NFL career is not guaranteed. If there's somebody telling you they're going to draft you, go. Jalen Milroe is one of a group of dudes that I would say my man, you need to go back for one more. Like, you're good, and it's in there. You've got the capability. I think you need to go back for one more run in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, but once you're playing, I mean, committed to playing in that game, it's too late, isn't it? I think.
I think Jalen had one more year of eligibility he could have burned up.
Well, I mean, once you're down there, I think you're down there.
Oh, yeah, I think you're – I mean, he's out now.
Yeah. All right, the next thing that's texting is Tom Selleck.
Could have given me 100 guesses. I would not have guessed that Tom Selleck was going to be trending today. Tom Selleck is trending because a bunch of you people are bringing back the stash. The stash is back in effect right now. I'm seeing it all over the place. I'm assuming it's because there's a worldwide effort to make Tom Selleck's mustache back in style.
No, it's his birthday. Okay. It's his birthday.
Tom Selleck is 77.
Close, but higher. He is 80.
Okay. I'm in that three-year window.
It's a lot of people love Tom Selleck, even still, because he's on Blue Bloods, and that's I know my wife.
Really, he's got another one coming out too. I saw, or maybe it's like a replay of one he did while doing or right before. I don't know, but he's got another show that came out. They showed it, and the wife was like, "Tom Selleck," and I was like, "No, ma'am, no, we're not doing that. You want to get away with saying Brady's attractive? I'm good with that." You want to get away with, say, Harrison Ford's attractive? In a weird way, I'm good with that. You are not hitting me with Tom Selleck.
Dude, the ladies,
at 80.
The ladies have loved Tom Selleck since back in the day.
Yeah, but again, like, it's
since
just...
Since Magnum P.I., he's been the guy.
It is weird to me that my wife has a crush on the same person that her mother had a crush on when he was already an adult. That's just it. That's the only thing for me. So, it's weird.
Well, it's hereditary. All right. The next thing that's Xing is AJ Styles.
AJ Styles has got to be coming back for the Rumble, right? Like, he's going to be a surprise.
That's why he's Xing, speculation that he will make his return Saturday, just like Charlotte Flair. But they put that
there's
out
no,
there.
Yeah, there's no that, speculation. Yeah, she straight up
that
said
she's
it.
She's coming back.
There was a on Reddit the other day. Take it for what it's worth. Somebody released an image that they claimed was the Royal Rumble entry list, and it looked. I mean, it looked good.
Remember, I mentioned something, and I'm sticking with it. There were no TNA people on there. And with the connect, I know there's going to be some other people from TNA there.
I wouldn't be shocked.
If you say his name, he will appear.
Listen, nobody hopes you're right more than me. But at the same time, it's a relatively fresh connection. You know, they've been building this for a while. Like, maybe, I don't know.
I forget on that list, Jordan Grace wasn't on there, and she just signed with WWE. So there's guaranteed she's going to be in there.
I will say this. I'm going to pop so hard if Roman Reigns or if The Rock used his corporate powers to make himself number 31 on the list of 30. I'm all in.
That would be excellent. And finally, the last thing, I left it last on purpose, which is Xing big time, Fall of Diddy.
That's a documentary that's coming out today.
No, it's already out.
Oh, it came out?
I think it came out yesterday or the day before. A lot of people watching it.
I don't know. I'm not interested.
I want to know, but I don't want to know.
I don't think. I mean, I care, and I hope the dude gets thrown under a jail that is under another jail. Sure, but like, I don't know how much I care about Diddy to follow the story. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Have a great day, everybody. See you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on the Rob Brown Show. He's Lonzo. I'm Rob. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. See you tomorrow. Goodbye.